Blog Talk Radio.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Of Real Talk with Jacob Green. I am your host, the man they call James Green. And once again, folks, I want to thank everybody for tuning in with me. Now, before I get started on this episode, I want to remind everybody to spread the word of Real Talk throughout the internet, whether in your social media networks, whether in your blogs or forums or somewhere. Just go spread the word around to your friends and family or anybody else. Let them know that Real Talk is in session, baby. And we are live every Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to 10:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please let them know that Real Talk is on live. Now, folks, tonight's topic of... We've gone over like four chapters so far of Dr. Watson's The President's Wives. And for those of you who are tuning in not aware of this book here, this is a work founded by a scholar or some sort of, well, let's just say that he's a, like, doctorate, he's an institute. Well, let me go over that again since some people may have lost track of his identity. His name is Robert Watson, and he's an expert in the area political science, particularly in this context, for the purpose of this broadcast. He's what we call a scholar on the area of the presidential studies. Now, specifically talking about first ladies. And believe it or not, he used to be involved like in like political anything in Arkansas. Now, Robert, and I'm not talking about the Canadian parliamentarian. I'm not talking about Barbara Watson as a Rhode Island politician. I'm talking about an academic? No, wait a minute. That's not the same Robert Watson, but that's besides the point. Let's just put it this way, that he's a professor or some expert in areas of political science, who contributed to different articles and wrote about first ladies. This is one of his latest works that I know of. And it's a second edition book. The first four chapters have to do with the area of first ladies as an academic study. The third and fourth chapters have to do with the history of first ladies and the roles and duties and plus their staff. So it delves into a lot of different areas, which I alluded to earlier during my first broadcast of First Lady's edition of Real Talk. And I let everybody know that, for those of you listening to the broadcast, for those of you not aware, okay, that this is going to help you if you're going to, you know, succeed in a class that has this as a topic, First Ladies, like another research seminar or something. And for those of you who are still keeping up with the broadcast, then Chapter 5 is what we're going to start with. With that out of the way, let's discuss this real quick before we lose track of time. Now, the word approaches, it's one of the source of confusion in this chapter that arises from Watson's usage. This is sometimes like how a first lady approaches the job and how the media covers the first ladies and what public opinion seems to expect of first ladies and how various scholars have studied, researched first lady. They need analytical approaches. Like they use their own concepts that they develop when they're working in academic institutions to explain characteristics and behavior of first ladies. But right now we're going to discuss things that would be integrated into our framework for understanding first lady behavior so that all of you listening to the broadcast would be increasing your knowledge of first ladies. Now, there's external, internal, and partnership factors. Plus, now keep in mind that each first lady behaves in different ways. And that the framework we covered enables us to explain why. Have you heard of a phrase, to each their own, as though something is relative or relationships between people are relative? Well, this applies to the identity of first ladies, as not every one of them is the same thing, despite what some person or some culture or society would tell you, like group. Of course, as analysis, we can't know the best way, but we could try to find the best way to study first ladies. But the thing is, we have to select the concepts we use for critical thinking based on the question we want to ask. Like if we have to fit our analytical framework to match the reality we want to examine. This is an interactive process in which we think we know what we want to know and how we can know about that, and then adapt our tools of analysis to fit the evidence we find. As we consider when we go further into the broadcast, we have to keep all these in mind because the office of a first lady consists of more than one dimension. If we focus only on one dimension, we miss others. Like, for example, Michelle Obama, it simplifies a dual approach for the office of a first lady, which you'll find in page 88 of a book. Of course, then, obviously, there's many basic roles and duties of a first lady, as well as advanced. You'll see that they can be identified as presidential spokespersons, campaigners, champions of social causes, and hostesses of the White House. These roles and duties cover a wide spectrum of responsibilities, each of which poses a challenge to the occupant of the office. Yeah, it's not surprising that there have been many different approaches. I mean, look at Rosalind Carter and Eleanor Roosevelt. They largely ignored one aspect of the office, which is to approach the office from a social hosting perspective. And Mamie Eisenhower and Julia Grant are first ladies, some examples that seem to prioritize that particular role to such a degree that define their first ladyships. But Rosalind Carter and Eleanor Roosevelt were like political activists. They focused their White House years on politics and policy activities, making them right there potentially presidential partners. We know that Rosalind Carter definitely is, since she focused her efforts on spearheading modernization of mental health institutions. And how do we know it? You know, mental health. Which falls into the realm of abnormal psychology or just psychology in general. Psychiatry. That's a fascinating field. Yeah. Of course, we'll be discussing throughout the broadcast, you know, the minds and struggles of first ladies, the internal struggles too. And if you heard the gist of that, that's in one of the broadcast archives. Maybe the fourth chapter, maybe the third, or whatever. Anyways, and what I need to cover here is this. There's a logical error in the two-dimensional office. You know, there's a dilemma here with the first ladies and their roles in society. traditional versus modern, active versus inactive, China doll versus dragon lady stereotypes. I already gone over that when talking about Nancy Reagan. And you know, of course, the illogical fallacy, let me explain for those who are not into logic or critical thinking what a fallacy is. This is an invalid, otherwise faulty reasoning in the construction of an argument, which is a set of a premises and a conclusion. A fallacious argument may be deceptive by appearing to be better than it is really. Some fallacies are committed intentionally to manipulate or persuade by deception, while others are committed unintentionally due to carelessness or ignorance. Lawyers, including constitutional lawyers, acknowledge that the extent to which an argument is sound or unsound depends on the contents in which the argument is made. So, with that in mind, there's a fallacy in the two-dimensional office. And, of course, it's a mistaken idea or exception. Invalid argument, logical error. I mean, it's easy to place a first lady chronologically in an earlier modern period. But not all first ladies in each period chose traditional versus more modern roles for themselves. Sometimes, when I analyze these first ladies, I would focus on external factors in the context of the times, whereas traditional expectations may be stronger than at other times. Look at Martha Washington. She seemed to set the bar for first ladies of all times since her time in office. Yeah, she's the one who attended events with the president, sometimes hosts. Now, sometimes modern first ladies like Nancy Reagan, Rosalind Carter, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, and maybe Melania Trump and Ivanka Trump, the surrogate, you know, due to internal factors, sometimes they prefer to take more traditional roles in their first ladyship. Nancy Reagan happens to be the prime example as far as you can tell. Now, there's a lot of basic approaches to the first ladyship. This will provide us with analytical concepts, frameworks, approaches that scholars have used for research to answer questions about first ladies. Like, have you heard of a concept called the public communicator? This is the description of first ladies in which they would communicate to the public, to their personnel, and even to their husbands. Now, communicators, they talk about ideas they want to talk about. They generate ideas and transmit them to different folks. The act of conveying intended meanings from one entity or group to another through the use of mutually understood signs and semiotic rules. They create messages, they transfer them to other people. Yeah. I would bet the first lady would be a good communicator, first and foremost. And she has been a visible and public part of the office of the president since day one. Part of this public role has required that she serve as a communicator. Consider duties like spokesperson, presidential booster, and political party booster, campaigner, and so on and so on. Activities that require the first lady to be effective communicator and have a positive public image and good press relations. You know, when performing these duties, she does not have the full power and support of the federal government, the legitimacy of elected or appointed office, the assurance of having been elected by a sizable percentage of the public, or the backing of the Constitution. She has to be good in communicating her message, otherwise she's not as effective as we thought. Now, another concept I want to point out is the white glove pulpit. This is similar to a presidential bully pulpit in which the preacher uses the power of persuasion from the pulpit. The President Roosevelt bypassed legislature and used his powers of persuasion to make direct appeals to the American public. He was successful using the media to create and exploit his Rough Rider war hero image, his charisma, and his active young family. And you know what? The white glove pulpit is very similar, except it's more feminine rather than feminine. She derives her credibility through the presidential marriage only, but it's still expensive to stand on her own 2 feet in a public arena. Surprisingly, first ladies have used their own pulpit to benefit themselves, their causes, and the president's image and popularity. They do advance their own image and the of themselves and the president. They attend or create social functions like teas, receptions, and state diners. This added to the dimension of the office of the first lady, in which the ways in which first ladies employ this pulpit and spend. And you know, the politics, including public speaking, campaigning, and advocating for social issues. Political party approaches are obviously going to be like what does the first lady campaign for? Like, which political party does she represent? And what activities she conducted under that party? Well, Nancy Reagan is pretty much apolitical in that she just attended, events, and she has some degree and that enabled her to help her husband succeed in his political career. She even showed gays and was loyal to her husband, right? Now, Martha Washington, as you may recall, first lady, she fulfilled the role of a hostess, in the sense that she carried out the pillow sphere of influence, remained calm under pressure when swaying people, while keeping a low profile. So, over time, you'll see more first ladies get political as more women are, participating in public affairs and have all the same rights and responsibilities as any citizen. Now, this would be like the area of Rosalynn Carter and Nancy Reagan, for example. The thesis in this chapter would be that, particularly in the political party section, is that the Democratic first ladies, they're extremely politically active and powerful members of their husband's administration. But Republican first ladies, especially the recent ones, they were less inclined to exercise their influence or promote their activities or opinions in public. They function and nurture public images as loyal, apolitical wives. When they exercised influence, however, it was in a behind-the-scenes manner and rarely involved public policy matters, like illegal drugs. That's Nancy Reagan's area right there. Now, presidential partnership approach. This is another one here. And it talks about the presidential partnership, like first ladies and their relationships with the president. I haven't discussed too much about the partnership abilities, but this is determining approach based on the relationship they have. Some first ladies can overshadow their husbands, while others just let their husbands be like, "Hey, we run the show, man." But the first ladies' relationship to the president cannot be defined by any stereotype or label. Every person's unique in a relationship, and each person has unique qualities that can be appreciated. Right? Now, when scholars try to determine first ladies, you'll notice that not all their typology would be accurate or comprehensive, just because they limit things like political identity, political activism, and their degrees, their names. If they could add more categories based on the factors plus everything else, well, you might get yourself a comprehensive review of first ladies. Like, it'll help you if you're going to do research on these people. I'm just saying, not all first ladies are frail, nervous, and sensitive. Some are more pushovers, so to speak. But everybody has their own abilities and their own strengths and weaknesses, You heard me say this before, if you have. If you have, all right, that just repeating for emphasis. Plenty of paradoxes here in the area of being a president's spouse. There's no constitutional or statutory guidance concerning the duties and functions. I mean, it's both an asset and a liability for the First Lady as she forges an approach to the office. Indeed, a First Lady might be able to frame the office in a manner that suits her personality, abilities, and political objectives. But it also means that any approach is open to criticism and controversy. Not surprisingly, then, the First Lady has been deemed the wild card of American politics. There's another approach that we'll have to consider here is the character approach. And you may find this within Aristotelian ethics, here about character and vices and virtues. Character is like, not like the literary description of a person or archetype, not the agent in a work of art. I'm talking about what a person is, like in terms of morality, an evaluation of a person's individual moral qualities. Like, there's honesty and loyalty, fortitude, examples of virtues. Now, a First Lady might have these virtues, but some First Ladies don't demonstrate good behaviors or habits. I'm not going to lie about Nancy Reagan when I say that she has been accused of, you know, taking loans, you know, just buying some dress and buying China, using taxpayer dollars or gifts. She received political gifts. And there was this law that government ethics, you could probably look that up. It has to do with disclosure of finances that any person received, like within the government. Yeah, if Nancy Reagan had nothing to hide, then she wouldn't be practicing vices like stealing and lying and all that. On a cultural level, the set of moral behaviors to which a social group adheres can be said to unite and define it culturally as distinct from others. Yeah, if I were to guess, the liberals were to criticize Nancy Reagan more often because she was not a feminist type, you know, or a feminism advocate like, you know, Betty Ford and Rosalind Carter. Yeah, I mean, no surprise there. I mean, seriously. And that's another way to approach a First Lady behavior. So, now the wrong approach can have negative consequences, okay? This can result in negative publicity. It can negatively impact a president's approval or popularity, credibility, or reputation. Now, I'm not going to discuss too much of concepts of shadow insanity or lady bigamist, but if you know the meaning of each word, like insanity, you'll probably have to apply it to First Lady behavior to get a sense of what Dr. Watson's talking about. Insanity, though, means craziness or madness, abnormal mental or behavioral patterns. That is something that is easily clickable in the mind. Like a person would know if a person is violating social told norms. I don't see Nancy Reagan committing too much of that, but to getting accused of being a fancy, rich class, like rich class lady, that has some negative vibes to it. As though, you know, it's in a time in which Americans were hurting because of job losses. Yeah, that had a negative perception of Nancy Reagan. Until the day of a Gridiron dinner event, which is in the first term of the Ronald Reagan administration. So, yeah. Of course, then, if you were to apply those things, maybe the liabilities are as clear to you, so I don't have to go over that too much. Now, what we learn about paradoxes here was from Professor Benz's article here about Nancy Reagan. Since we're discussing paradoxes anyway, Watson identifies additional paradoxes, first volunteer and second hardest job, and discuss how conflicting expectations affect individual first ladies and create role boundaries for the first ladyship as an institution. Now, this chapter continues to build on information base for the what we're discussing about. At this point, I'm going to have to consider comparing the three first ladies, since I already got several first ladies mentioned in the broadcast, including this one. Now, what I'd like to do is that, we already got through some of the broadcast. I don't need to discuss too much about the details. If you'd like to continue the discussion with me on first ladies, and tonight's topic will be about I want to emphasize political patterns because politics happens to be my passion. Plus, it's certainly one of the important factors to keep in mind when talking about first ladies. Now, if you want to call in and provide your insights into this, different approaches to the White House Office of the First Lady, give me a call at 347-855-8578. That's 347-855-8578. That's the number to call here. And do that before we go to the after show, which will be less than 3 minutes away. So, anyways, we got three callers as of now on the queue. So let's go to the top. We got 111. You're on the air. What do you think about the First Lady, and what do you think about the approaches I discussed so far? Oh, Jungle Inoshima. If she's really that evil, why, I need to date her or anything, because she could just fart me if I'm like, it's her. I'm going to have a three-way with a murderous psycho. I mean, I go out normally. Shut up. I never said that, all right? It was a splice, and everybody who knows me knows it's going to be a splice, man. Look, man, I already discussed about death battles during the last broadcast, and you know what? I never go out with a murderous psycho, ever. I mean, don't you dare splice that, man. I mean, I already have a girlfriend for your information, and she would never have these ulterior motives. You know, like murder and all that. No. My family would be in danger had that happened to me, like a girlfriend suddenly goes crazy. I mean, that's never going to happen. And keep that in mind. Anyways, let's go to the next caller. Let's see. We got 862. You're on the air. What do you think about approaches to first ladyship?
Oh, Jacob, is it true that you're Ned Flanders? Because both of you sound very similar and autistic. I want you to go to Homer Simpson's house, so we might as well cook some barbecue. And you want to know what the secret ingredient is? It's my semen. It'll be so hot.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Oh, dang gummit. Let me tell you something right now. Ned Flanders and I believe in the same thing, okay? Even though, for those of you who are into reality, he's a fictional character from The Simpsons. He's that neighbor that Homer Simpson hates or doesn't give too much of a crap about. So, I mean, I'm not Ned Flanders. At least I'm a little less hypocritical than he is. Like, you've seen him in some episodes of him being a demon. I mean, really now. I would never sell my soul to the devil, all right? No, never, ever. And no spicing that. Because if I find out, come on, we're supposed to be talking about first ladyship here and different approaches, all right? Let's not get off topic. Anyways, we're on the 15-minute mark. This is the beginning of the after show. So, okay, Jesus Christ. You know what? Let's just go over the specifics. Yada, yada, yada. You know, this is the random vandalism in which you get to say whatever you want on the broadcast, even if it's trolling, even if it's you want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, whether you want to talk about tonight's broadcast here. And, of course, that it'll be just like Rio Graffiti. You got 3 or 4 seconds to say whatever it is that is on your mind. You'll probably understand why it's called Rio Graffiti, or in this case, Random Vandalism. So, I already got 2 callers covered here. Let's just go for the bomb here. 808, you're on the air. Random Vandalism.
Hey, Big Jack, to celebrate President's Day, I'm going to be swimming in Donald Trump's Golden Select. How about you join me and we can swim like a couple of manatees? Oh, my.
Jesus Christ. It's that Top Guy impersonator. I mean, yes. Oh, shut up with the Big Jack crap, all right? For those of you who don't know what this meme is, this is a forced meme, all right? Jesus Christ, man. You know, it's not that funny if it's forced material. I mean, that's so unoriginal, man. I mean, if you're caught doing that during True Capitalist Radio broadcast, Ghost is going to... you know what he's going to do. I'm not going to spill it out for you. I mean, give me the mic. Give me that mic. What the heck is this, for Christ's sake? Oh my gosh. You know what? It's ridiculous, man. You're calling me Big Jack. I'm not even fat. Good Lord. I'm not even fat. And you want to know something? If you were wondering when I was fat, at one time when my father, when I was living in his house, I would be injected with some sort of steroid, some sort of injection that made me hungry for a lot of food. And even if I was not hungry, I would continue to eat food and then get fat. I was a little butterball when I was like in middle school, but today I lost a lot of weight since then, and that steroid wore off during this time. So I'm more fit than you can imagine, boy. So stop with the Big Jack crap, all right? People are thinking you're going to be acting like an imbecile. Anyways, let's go back to callers, all right? Since we got, what is the engineer? 13 minutes or less. All right. I still got time. We got 862. You're on the air. Random Vandalism.
Is it true that you're Ned Flanders? Because you sold your soul to me. I own it in my jar right now. Oh, Ned.
No. That's not true at all, for Christ's sake, man. Look, man. Unlike some of the mythological figures or historical figures you might know of, unlike those people, I would not sell my soul to the devil, all right? Even if I did one time, God would spare me from further wrath, all right? Looking for forgiveness and all that. I would not sell my soul to Flanders, all right? Don't you dare question my faith, okay? Seriously, man. I mean, if you're so obsessed with Ned Flanders, why don't you just go to Springfield, like at Oregon, according to Matt Pat from Game Theory and Film Theory, all right? I mean, shut up your ass with that crap, all right? Freaking Ned Flanders. Anyway, 111, you're on the air. What do you think about the First Ladyship or, you know what, screw it. Random Vandalism, you're on the air. I mean, I go out normally with ladies who are very evil and murderous to me and violent.
No!
Gee, stupid, you're the one who made me go.
Oh, Jacob, it's so hot, you're being tortured. Oh, it's my turn.
This is absolute despair. I feel despair upon despair and despair toward despair. there yet again.
You stupid sets of pizza. Damn splices. I mean, good God. Engineer, why did you not cancel this guy out? I mean, what the hell is that? Oh, you think it's funny, Engineer? You think it's funny to let this guy just tee with that splice? I mean, you're just interested in this as he is, huh? Is that it? You want to see me suffer because of... I never go out with murderous women. I already told the people listening to this broadcast, and you just let that splice go through, shaping the narrative down somehow a sick freak? What the hell is your problem? Get your shit together, Engineer, before you're fired. Get your shit together, all right? You know, if you don't cut your crap, I mean, I'd be more than happy to get Ghost to just pull off the woodshed thing. I mean, he knows punishment, and... Oh, my gosh. I'm not the one who is going to punish you. Ghost will know what to do with you. So unless you want to suffer his wrath, then do your job.
Okay.
All right. Jesus Christ. I mean, that splice. I mean, this hasn't had some anime sound clip, and was that the internet butt stalker on the background there? Man, give me the mic. Look, you sick sons of bitches need to back off with this crap, all right? Jesus Christ. I mean, what is this? I told y'all that the topic of tonight is First Ladyship and different approaches of it. What makes you want to just listen to other broadcasts? You know what? I'm just not into it tonight. I mean, this whole going off topic thing is pissing me off, all right? It may be when Eddie Hinkle owns the show, he would go randomize about different things. You know what? At least I have focus and direction, and this is why I tend to go with real talk when talking about different subject matters. But this is a First Ladies broadcast. None of the First Ladies I know were to do whatever Junko Inoshima did, all right? None of them would try to hurt their presidents, as far as I know, all right? Like, in the sense of assassinating them or anything. I mean, good God, man. I mean, you could try to question or even discuss about why it's the second hardest job on the planet. Second hardest, really? I mean, it depends on your perspective on First Lady. It's either hard or not hard. But there's a lot of uncertainty in relation to this job, besides the laws and social norms or standards. How people view first ladies, women in general. I mean, that's going to shape the dimensions of first ladies as an institute, you know, institution. But it's assholes out there who are just, you know, who don't pay attention to ghosts. It's these that don't learn about democracy or anything political, or don't get active in it, that piss me off, all right? Besides that, the ignorance is consuming populations around the world, and I'm sick of it. Jesus Christ. Let's see what else we got here. We got 808. You're on the air. Random vandalism.
Hey, Big Jack, I'm writing a fanfic about you and the real ghost called Dreams of My Real Son. It'll have a sex scene with you in a diaper. Oh, my.
But shut up. I mean, wait, hold on a second. First of all, shut up with the Big Jack thing, all right? And secondly, Why do you suddenly want to go Max Pony all of a sudden? I mean, Jesus Christ, I do not need to affiliate myself with controversy like this, okay? Max Pony got into trouble because of trolls exposed his diaper fetish stories. I mean, I understand he defends them as though it's, like, for stories, heartwarming and all the cuteness. But Ghost and a bunch of tiny chat trolls, they don't believe him, all right? So don't bring that crap to my show, okay? Unless I'm discussing, like, My Little Pony or Mass Pony or, you know, having discussions about, like, different, like, fetish as a topic or anything. I mean, in an educational manner rather than, like, in a manner which Ghost would say, get him off, for Christ's sake! Unless I'm talking about those topics, can you just drop that whole Mass Pony thing? I mean, it's starting to piss me off. I mean, really. I mean, if some people or most people, I'm sure people have different degrees of fetish one way or another. It's not always sexual. But this is not the appropriate time to discuss it because people might get the wrong idea sometimes. But see, some people have the right idea depending on what's been talked about and who's talking to who. I mean, it's like you act as if there's no difference unless you know. But I get the feeling that I'm getting more troll calls each time. I want serious callers, for Christ's sake, man. Anyways, let's just end. I don't have time to talk about more about First Lady's approach because this is a 30-minute show at least. But unless I have more minutes added, like per the subscription plan, this is what I got for now. All right, let's go. If I don't find a good quality call, I'm out of here. We got 111. You're on the air.
Oh, look at Jacob's toolbox. My toolbox's amazing. Give it a lick.
It tastes like an autistic raisin.
Had the scope of this sexy mane, and it turned into a homosexual blade.
And it turns back again.
And he's torn his toolbox.
Ooh, that's dirty.
Do you think so?
I better not show you where the lemonade is made.
Ooh, sweet lemonade. Ooh, sweet lemonade. Ooh, sweet lemonade.
What the? Oh, man. Don't tell me that was that, you know, the meme of, look at my horse is amazing, give it a lick. I mean, I see something similar to that with My Little Pony. Except that Discord was singing as well as Twilight Sparkle, for Christ's sake. Oh, man. Freaking bronies, you know? I mean, I'm a brony myself, but some bronies are a little cringy compared to others. Anyways, we're out of time here. I want to thank everybody for tuning in here. And stay tuned for tomorrow's episode, in which I may discuss about First Ladies. If not, then I may move to something else, like, you know, different topics each time, like about Eddie Hinkle or Peter the Penguin. I may have guests depending on the time and other factors. Anyways, follow my Twitter, which is MLP_Bristle, and check out for future content here on Blog Talk Radio, Real Talk. Same place, same time. I'm out of here. Thank you all for tuning in with me. Study hard, but not too hard. And I'll talk to you all tomorrow night. Good night, everybody.